Many begin to ask, how much longer? When does it come to an end? Does it ever get better? And I know the oil that's on this house, the anointing that's on this house, is for restoration. But in order to be restored, sometimes you come in broken. You do all that you know to do. Not only do you press in prayer, not only do you press by faith, but then there's times you just don't even want to continue on. Because the weight and the oil is so heavy. Then you ask yourself, how much more? Many Christians today would say, don't ask God that, because he'll put more on you. We grew up during the time in church that people would say that God won't put more on you than what you can handle. That's not even biblical. That is not in the word. The true word says that he will give you the strength to overcome, and his grace is sufficient for you. He's had me on this whole thing about grace, and not in the way that many preachers were preaching before about the grace. This is the grace of saying that you're going through some things, but his grace is sufficient for you to make it through. He didn't say that he was going to lift and take off. He just said it's sufficient for you. It's like a thorn that is in your side that you just can't remove. And sometimes it blinds you from the things that you're going through. But sometimes you just do everything that you know to do. You get in your word, you pray, you press, you do everything. You praise, you worship, you dance, you get on your face and you cry. But when? And I've asked God, why is it that it feels like the house of manna, they come broken? I've asked my wife many times as we sit in our coffee and talk and just talk and looking at each other like, this time that we have this morning is good. But it just seems like every time we encounter people, they're broken. They're going through something. And I begin to ask God, when is the restoration to the body being released? Because truly, if the oil is on you, that's the anointing that destroys the yokes, removes oppression, yanks people right out of depression. And then he began to show me faces, individual faces from the house. And I began to pray, and he says, I just want you to see that when they come in because they're seeking me. Because they're heavy. Because they're in need of restoration. Because they're in need of being put in a place where God is saying, I'm still here for you even though you're going through. We don't have the answers. He holds them. We seek after them. We press and we continue to ask. But I hear the Spirit of God say this. It's not a rebuke. I want you to just hear this. It's in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and I'm going to read it to you. And I feel that this is really where the body of Christ is at. This is written to the church of Ephesus. Revelation 2 out of the English Standard Version, verse 1 says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works. I know your toil and your patience. endurance. And how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Verse 4, listen to verse 4. The previous verses speaks of everything that you're doing right. Testing the spirit, you're testing the word that is going forth. You're testing the validity of the word of God. You're testing it. You're doing all things. You're waiting. You're doing impatiently. You're enduring to the end. And you're going through doing all the works and everything that you're doing. He sees that everything is right. But this is what he says in verse 4. He says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Now, I don't know if you can go back to the day that you got saved. When the Lord Jesus came and found you right where you were at in your mess. Then he looked into your eyes and said, just accept me now. Because the Holy Spirit began to tug on you and said that there is something that you're in need of that you can't fill. There's a void that only he can fill. If we can go back to our first love, we can go back to put our heart back in that place. I remember when I fell in love with my wife. I hear this too many times in the church. That leaders in the church are also getting divorced. There's infidelity in the church. It's out in the world, but in the church. And the excuse that they say is, we just fell out of love. I don't buy that at all. You just couldn't process a new thing in your life on how you had to understand your mate and who you have married, your soulmate. You didn't understand the next emotion that was attached to this relationship. You didn't know how to process it. And in order to understand it, you just walked away from it. Instead of enduring through. I can remember, how many of you remember the first time that you had stayed up on the phone as late as you could talking to your lover? You hang up. No, you hang up. Good night, good night. I love you more. Dream of me. No, you dream of me. Did you say something? Yes, I was just thinking of you when you were walking down the hall and you had that perfume on. And I had that smell right now. And it just brought me back to when you were wearing that beautiful outfit. And it just highlighted your eyes. And I know it's 2:00 in the morning. You know, every little detail, you go back and you remember. But what happens when you get so comfortable with the one that you love? You begin to be complacent about that love. And I believe the body of Christ has gotten to that point. We're in a good place. We really are. The body of Christ is in a good place. He has positioned us for a great outpouring of his spirit. The church is in the best place it's ever been in centuries. Where we're at right now, I believe that we are experiencing the love that is unconditional like never before. But we've gotten so caught up in a system that we think that because as long as we go through and do everything we're supposed to do, then that's enough. And today, I looked at my wife as she was getting things done this morning. She was up early this morning. She was in her word, listening to worship. I think it was about 5:30 in the morning. Now, I would say I got up because the Lord prompted me to get up. But I had to put the brisket in the oven. So when I got up, when I went downstairs, I could barely see. And I see my wife there. But when I saw her, she doesn't know I'm about to tell her this. I saw her returning back to her first love. Going back to the time that she would pursue God like never before. And she spent time with Jesus first. And you know your pastor. What are you doing? Okay. Put the brisket in the oven and went upstairs and laid down thinking I'm going to fall right back to sleep. And that's when the Lord started showing me this. He says, don't get caught up in doing everything that you need to do to please man. Be more caught up with me. Pleasing me. Don't become so complacent. And don't get so used to my love that you forget how it was when you first found me. So as I sat there, I began to cry. I'm just weeping. I put my headphones on and I'm just weeping and weeping in the bed. My daughter walks in. I'm saying this for a reason. She walks in to get ready for school. And I know when my daughter is doing her routine. Mama's downstairs in the Word and in worship. Hannah's in her routine. She gets her makeup and all I hear is I have no clue. But once I do go into the restroom where she was at, I see the remnants of her preparation. Makeup all over the counter. She gets ready. She has a day that is planned out. And she goes about her way. And I heard the Lord say, if we as the body would put that much attention on coming to him first, making it routine to get into his presence, to beautify ourselves in his glory, then what he would do when we're out and about in the public and our everyday doing, we would begin to release the anointing that we spent with the Father, Abba, in our presence with him, that we would release that in the atmosphere and we would begin to make change in people's lives. That sounds real good right there. I believe that the Lord is preparing the body of Christ for a very special display of his love. Every time in Scripture I read when the Lord was moved by compassion, healing took place. Miracles took place. Signs and wonders took place. Creative miracles were released. Angels showed up. And I read in Scripture, every time an angel showed up, it was to announce his presence, announce his coming, announce who he is, announce what he is about to do. And I really feel right now in the atmosphere that God is doing in the body of Christ, he is releasing angels to prepare for a visitation that we've never seen. Please hear me. If you come just for pastor's wonderful brisket, amen. But you got to come for God. You've got to come for God. Because the more you press into his presence, the more his oil is going to flow through you. We are at that very verge. You remember when I got that word on New Year's Eve that he made me turn around? He says, you're right on the edge, on the precipice. And then he pushed me. He pushed me to go forward. It's like God saying, I've been waiting for a long time for the body of Christ. I brought you to that edge, but you're afraid to move and take that step. But now my hand is on you and I'm releasing you to soar. Amen. We're in good times right now in the body of Christ. But let's not forget when we first found Jesus. Amen. Many old school preachers used to say, Jesus wasn't lost, you were lost. That's why you had to go and find him. Because you were lost. But he's bringing his presence like never before. Like never before. Isn't that exciting? Are you ready for more of that? So am I. Stand to your feet if you would, please. Josh, you play. Sally, you can stop. You play. You have some notes you want to go over, some things you want to share? Go ahead and play, Josh. I want you, as you're standing there right now, I want you to lift your hands unto the Lord. Say, Father, remind me. Bring me back to my first love. When I first encountered you. When I really had a tangible touch from you. When I could experience the supernatural realm around me. That when I would pray, things would happen. You would move on my faith. Because religion hadn't stepped in. But relationship was being established. Keep me there, God. In the very bosom of you, Lord. Let me hear your heartbeat. Let me hear the whisper of your voice. Let me feel, God, the heartbeat to know to pursue after you even more. Let the sound that comes from you be a part of me. So that when people see me, they see you. They hear you. They experience you. And they want you. Let me be a willing vessel. Fill me up, God, with everything that heaven has for me. All your benefits. All your promises. All of you, Jesus. Now let me walk in that authority. Let me be of that dimension. And let me display your glory. Thank you, Daddy. I love you. And thank you for loving me first. And saving my soul. That whatever desire that was in my heart is no longer there. Because if it wasn't of you, it doesn't need to be of me. I want your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, Miss Sally. Come on. You may be seated. You may be seated. I've asked Miss Sally to come and share what's on her heart and to share with you guys what the Lord has given her.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful presence in here. Amen. Almost don't want to share. Amen. But the Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. And as I prepared this week, I said, Lord, I'm not going to share on anything that I know, anything. I'm going to wait for you to tell me. And I got into prayer and I waited for God to speak. And this is what he said. Amen. And this is what I'm going to share on tonight. And it won't be long. If you can go ahead and keep playing. Amen. Amen. He said, speak to the brokenhearted. They must not remain there. Amen. And when the Lord showed me that this week, I said, what does that mean? Brokenhearted. Is it a breakup? Is it something that didn't turn out right in your life? Something you planned? Is it somebody who hurt you? Not just physically, but maybe emotionally. What does that mean, brokenhearted? And there's a difference between brokenhearted and having a broken spirit. Amen. And I believe the Lord is telling us now that it is time to surrender our hearts to the one who is able, Let me repeat that. The one who was able to bind up the brokenhearted. Amen. It's in Isaiah 61. And I looked up that word bind up. So we don't really use it around here. We don't say, let me bind up that cut or let me bind up this. And the definition said to make secure. Man, and a lot of us in our hearts, we're not secure with what God has for us. We hear it. The word comes. The prophecy comes. And we say, it's not me. That's not me. But I believe because our hearts are broken in different areas of our life, and it's time to allow God to bind that up already. Amen. So that we can move forward. So that we can move forward to what God has for us. God's will is to make our hearts whole. That is His will. Not to remain there. And I looked up in Psalm 69:20, it says, reproach has broken my heart. And that word reproach means a lot of things, amen, but it means to cause blame, amen, and maybe we have been blamed for something in our lives, discredited, disapproved, rejection, disgraced, come on, shame. To find fault in, abused, condemned, criticized, even rebuked. If you don't know what that is, good. Amen. I'm not going to tell you what that is. Sometimes people don't put it out right. Amen. But sometimes you've been rebuked in what you've done and what you've said. And that reproach grabs us and it holds us there. It doesn't allow us to even receive the loving kindness of the Lord. The healing power. We say, no, 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 no. I know what I did, but I don't deserve this. Amen? But that's not God. That's not the Father we serve. Amen? And He wants that out of us. He wants that out of our spirits and out of our hearts. Amen? And I'm going to read in. That's talking about a broken heart. It's time to get healed from that. A prophetess one time told me, I didn't even know her. She said, not everything in your testimony is part of your testimony. And I didn't understand it when she said it, but I understand it today. There's things in our lives that we just gotta let go. We just cannot take it to another season, holding it and using it and even sharing it sometimes, because it's time to just let it go completely. Amen. And when we speak it, we speak it into existence. And we replay it. Sometimes you've heard people, I've said things in my life that I say it and it seems like yesterday. Because it's so fresh. It's so real. But sometimes it's just time to let go. Amen. And we come to the altar, we cry, and this is a night of worship. We come, and sometimes we come brokenhearted, and that's great, but I believe God is saying for the deeper parts of your heart, it's time to get binded up. Amen. And what does a broken spirit mean? What's the difference? And in Psalms 51:15-16, I'm going to read the Message version first. Amen. But it says, unbutton my lips, dear God. I'll let loose with your praise. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learned God worship when my pride was shattered. Heart-shattered lives, ready for love. Don't for a moment escape God's notice. And this portion of scripture was after King David fell with Bathsheba. This is his repentance. Amen. But in another version it says, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, or else I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. My only sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, broken with sorrow for sin, thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. Amen. And as I broke that down, a broken spirit means humbled and willing. Amen. Remorseful. Not that even in your life that you are seeking change. Amen. It's not enough to just keep doing the same things and going through the same things, falling in the same way and doing things over and over and over with no remorse. And I know that's heavy, amen. But sometimes there needs to be that eye opener. It's time to change, amen. It's time to allow God to change those areas. And I'm guilty of that. When God deals with me, if I don't like it, if it gets too deep, if it gets too close to home, I stay away. I don't want to be in his presence all the time. I don't want to read his word. I read his word and then I'm like, no, that's not for me. I'm going to read something different. Oh, come on. And it's for you. Then you try to do one of those where you open the Bible and just wherever it lands, that's what you're going to read. But then it's for you, right? And then you're like, okay. I guess, Lord, right? But God wants to deal deep inside of us, amen? And not only is a broken spirit in reference to ourselves, but also for others, amen? And that's sorrow for sins, amen, or offenses. And I know many of us, we have family members that are struggling, friends, loved ones, even people at work, and they're just hurting. And our physical mind wants to just say, well, that's what they get. That's what they get. They're going through it. That's what they get. They keep going back. Oh, but what about a heart that cries for them? That says, God, touch them. Lord, they can't even see. Even Jesus says they don't know what they're doing. And that's how sometimes people are. They don't know the depths of sin that they're in, things that are gripping them, bondages that are holding them where they need to be, or where the enemy has them, because that's not where they need to be. Amen. Not in bondage, not in slavery. Amen. And I want to close with this. And I wasn't going to share this, but I wrote it down anyways. Amen. And because tonight's worship, and I believe my husband confirmed it the other day. I spoke with him about it. God had been showing me a couple of weeks ago about idolatry. And when you think of idolatry, you think of that scripture, if you don't know, like that you'll have no gods before me. Don't worship any other gods. And that's what you think. You say, well, I don't, you know, worship a statue, or I don't, you know, light a candle to the Virgin Mary. I don't do any of that stuff, right? But as I began to let the Lord, I said, Lord, teach me about this, because I don't really fully understand this. And it's anything that your heart craves to do. Anything that you're wanting. Anything that you enjoy doing so much, even over seeking God. Can I be real, mothers? Man, I'm a mother. Sometimes our children are in that place. You don't know how many times I fought my husband protecting my children. Not that he was abusive, but because I was a mother hen, right? Don't hurt my babies. And I placed them in that spot over God. Man, it wasn't until a pastor said, and I was a single mother at that time. And it wasn't until a pastor said, you have her in that place. Even before God. Man. And I want us, when we come into worship, we come in and sometimes it's hard, right, to get into the presence of God. I know all of us have felt it. I have. Sometimes it's hard. And I believe that we got to be careful what is allowed in our spirit through the week. Amen. And it's kind of like if you ate the mollies all week long. Every day, all day, and then try to take off running on Thursday night. Come on, amen? Sometimes, I know me, I like to run, but in the beginning of running, I had to learn to breathe because I would just about pass out there. But I had to get it to where I needed to be so I wouldn't feel like that, amen? But that's how it can be when we come into the presence of God and we're trying to get a hold of God, but we're so full of all the world's noise and all the things that we've allowed in our spirit. I work at a place with a lot of women. Amen? Not saved. Amen? I'm really quiet at work. I like to put my earphones on. But when I take them out, I could hear the chatter. Amen? And I choose not to listen to it or be part of it because I don't want that in my spirit. Because the Lord may say, pray for this lady. Pray for this. Then we have a lady who doesn't believe in God. Well, she's another religion, but she shared some things one time and the Lord has had me pray for her. I haven't told her I'm praying for you, nothing like that. But we got to be careful what we're allowing, especially when we come into the presence of God and we're trying to let God just soak, amen? And I'm going to end with this just as an eye-opener, amen? I know the youth probably hear this. Have you guys ever heard of the song Holy from Florida, Georgia? It's a country song. And I first heard it recently and it says, you are holy, you are holy, you are holy. Amen? I'm high in loving you. And when I heard it, I said, what is this? And I asked Mike, I asked my husband, have you heard this song? You know what it's about? Is it about a woman? Is it about God? What is going on here? And I went to work and I was looking it up on my break and on my lunchtime. And I was like, I want to see the words. Amen. And it's talking about a woman. And it says, holy, holy, holy. And I'm high on loving you. Give me to you, get you singing hallelujah. Give me, or you are my healing hands. You're my saving grace. You're my kind of church. And I heard it. I knew what they were saying. It wasn't about God. Amen. But no kidding, I went to the restroom later and I caught myself humming the holy, holy, holy portion. And I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me, right? Like, cleanse that out of me. And I knew why I was looking at the song. I knew that I was getting the lyrics, but I also heard the song, and it deposited in my spirit, and there I was singing it. Sometimes not even knowing what we're singing. We got to be careful what comes in because we don't know what we're saying. And that's idolatry, worshiping. Amen. Another God. Amen. And I just want to bless you tonight. If I know that God gave me that word and I just pray tonight that if it spoke to you, that you will allow God tonight to move freely in your life. And if he's bringing those things, and God will, Trust me, God will. If you ask God, show me what it is. What is it that's keeping me? What is it that keeps me when I come into your presence? I can't feel it. I don't feel it all the time. I don't know what everyone's talking about. I don't cry sometimes. I don't this, I don't that. Ask the Lord, show me what it is that's hindering your presence in me. Amen. I pray you're blessed. Amen.
Amen. You know, and we had this conversation, I believe it was this morning or yesterday morning. You know, the enemy is the god of this world. And for those that, I don't mean to burst your bubble, but he is. Therefore, the philosophies of this world are not our philosophies. And how would the enemy get the philosophies out there? Through music. Through movies. Through Hollywood. And it's so important. It's so important. Look, and I'm not saying it just to say it. I actually have a history in music. I took music classes, music business, audio production, and all that good stuff. And the music that is out there, we really need to be careful. We really do. And I'm not saying, okay, let me make this clear. I'm not saying be religious. Okay? Because there's a difference between Smokey Robinson, you know, cruising. Amen? I like oldies, right? Smokey Robinson cruising, right? My Girl, Temptations, right? But then you hear Me and Mrs. Jones. See the difference? See the difference? What we feed our spirits, we hold on to. Therefore, it creates a philosophy that it's easily accepted in this world. But it's not so with the Lord. It's not. Amen? Therefore, when we come to the Lord, we have, like my wife said, we have all this in our hearts. I told my wife, you know, I gotta say it. Who's heard Adele? You know who, everybody knows who Adele is, right? Sometimes when I hear those songs, it's about the ex all the time. And then we wonder why we can't stop thinking about our ex. See the difference? Not all music is bad. I'm not saying all music is bad. Therefore, that's why I'm saying don't be religious. However, what you feed your spirit, you hold on to it. You hold on to that pain. You hold on to that hurt. I'm guilty of it. We hold on to it. And we can't let it go. But then we're reminded all week, every day. Amen? It's very important. And as like my wife said, we go to the gym, try to run 3 miles, and we have nothing but tamales and tacos in us. I know what I'm talking about. It's so vital. So vital. Amen? I think I'm done. Amen? But we are not of this world. Amen? The world says, you know, chin up, stiffen up your upper lip, and keep walking. But God says, no, bring it to me. You don't bring that attitude to me. Let it go. Bring me that hurt. Bring me that pain. Let me take it away. But the world says, no, just bottle it up, put it deep down, and just forget about it. Out of sight, out of mind. No. It's hard. It's hard. Amen. I was so blessed to hear my wife speak. I always am. Amen. You know, she throws, you know, jabs and right hooks at me too sometimes. Amen. And that's okay. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. This evening, I want you guys to try to exercise that throughout this week. Exercise it. If you catch yourself, you know, listening to just stuff that you should not be feeding yourself, just cut it. I'm not saying get on your knees and pray 5 hours and repent. No, I'm not. Just, Lord, I'm sorry. Refresh my spirit, Lord. Refresh my spirit, Lord. Give me a new heart, Lord. Give me a new mind. Help me. Does it mean stay away from it? No, it's out there. We're going to hear it. But if we go with our hearts open to it, we got to be careful. How many of you are blessed this evening? Let's give God a praise offering, amen. Let it go. Man, I have to let it go. We ain't perfect. Man, I have my hang-ups. I have my failures. I have my issues. And it's hard. It's hard, amen? But God. Oh, man, but God. I should have heard 1,000 amens right there. But God. Amen, but God. God says, nah. Come on. I know you got it in you. Just bring it. Leave it right here at my throne. And then get ready because I'm going to give you something to go out there with. But that what you have, just leave it here. Just leave it here. Don't pick it up. Sometimes we want to pick up our sacrifice and take it out there with us again. Amen. Are we blessed tonight? Are we blessed tonight? Is God good? Doesn't it feel better? Amen. I'm mad. Sometimes you come to church and we're just, oh, Lord, the sister, the brother, my job, my boss, my kids. But God says, okay, bring it here. Put it down, out you go. That's what God does, amen? Are we blessed? Amen. Let's pray. I believe we have food out there, amen? Unless I was the only one that brought something, amen? But we have some food out there. We're also going to, I'm going to go ahead and, sister's going to pass out the tithing envelopes, offering, amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe they're gonna leave the offerings up here. Up here, if we could just. Amen. So I'm gonna go ahead and pray. And as I pray, we're gonna pray for the offering. We're also gonna bless the food. And let's get ready to eat. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you first and foremost, my God, for your presence. We thank you, my God, for speaking tonight. Father God, we ask, my God, that you help us, my God, even break through, my God. Break through, Father God, the heavens, my God. Break through our hindrances, my God. As we bring, Father God, our sacrifices, our praise, and our worship to your throne, Father, I pray, my God, that you help us, my God. Give us strength, my God. I pray for this offering that's about to be picked up, Father. I pray, my God, that you multiply, you bless it, stretch it. My God, use it where you see fit. Father God, I pray that you bless households. My God, I pray for promotion.